Good morning. Is it good afternoon? Praise the Lord. As I said, in Uganda, we say praise the Lord. Then you answer, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, this afternoon we again come before you, hungry for your word, desirous to hear from our Father. We come, Lord God, because being with you is what you created us for. That we may dwell in your presence and love you and serve you and worship you. And Lord, we come from different backgrounds. We come with different experiences that each one of us has gone through during the week. And Lord, we bring all those to the feet of Jesus. Father, I'm reminded of Mary and Martha. Coming to Jesus, or Jesus coming to them, and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. While Martha served, and when she complained, Lord, you said, Mary has chosen the best thing. Father, we choose to sit at your feet today. We lay down our crowns. Whatever it is, Lord, that we have achieved or acquired, we put it at the feet of Jesus. And we surrender. Father, speak to each one of us according to our point of need. Meet us, Lord, at that point of need and minister to each one of us that by the time we leave this place, Lord, we shall not go back the same. We shall not go back the way we came, Father. But we shall go back testifying like that woman who met you at the well. For when she met you, she never remained the same. Lord, you didn't condemn her. You just told her the truth. And she ran and told everybody she met. There is a man, come and meet him. Father, that you will help us to continue inviting people to come and meet you. Because, Lord, fellowship with you is the best. So we surrender. Lord, as I speak, I pray that you will take out my words and only allow your words to come. Father, give me the right illustrations, those that come from you, that in the end your word will have been spoken. For in Jesus' holy name, I do pray. Amen. Amen. I was sharing with Pastor during the break. I say, you know, Pastor, the Lord continues to amaze all of us. I began getting a stirring in my heart to share some thoughts. You know, and I said, Lord, at your own timing. And I come and we are praying with Pastor as he testified. And we prayed, we had fellowship, let me tell you. I think, you know, those who had appointments forgot that they had appointments because I think we were meant to be there from 6 to about 7, we left at 8. And the Lord was just ministering to all of us, to each one of us. And when Pastor said to me, can you share? That was a confirmation of the voice of God in my own heart. But let me give you yet another confirmation I was sharing with Pastor at break this morning, earlier today. When I was preparing the word, we exchanged some emails with Pastor communication, you know. And I was just basically sharing with him, you know, what the Lord is laying on my heart. And Pastor says, the way the Lord leads you, brother, just go and bring it. And I'm praying this morning and I'm saying, Lord, what spirit do you want me to go in? And one of the words that comes to me is surrender. And so I pick that picture and I put it on the notes of a man surrendering. And I'm saying, well, maybe I should have asked the pastor that we sing the song, I Surrender. And I come in here and there we are, surrendering to God. And I'm saying, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, this is you. This is confirmation. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, one of the songs that were sung, one of the songs that I love all my life, I never get tired of singing, and my wife and I will sing this almost every other day, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And my burdens, oh, and I walk in, and now we are at the cross, and I'm almost jumping and saying, Lord, at the cross, there's no better place to be than the cross. Friends, at the cross. I hope when I finish speaking, we shall have some time to sing it. Just sing it. Amen. To remind ourselves that it is at the cross. I've entitled the message, and this is going to be a series. There will be a number of sharings that are going to follow. But today is for laying the foundation. And remember that a house is only as strong as its foundation. You may have a very huge house, but if the foundation was shallow and weak, it will crash. One of the reasons that America continues to survive as a country, as a great nation on the face of the earth, is the foundation that was laid. That foundation was a solid foundation. And the moment the foundation, the Bible says, when the foundations are shaken, let's pray that the foundations will not be shaken. So I have entitled my message today, if we may move forward, the major principles of the characters, or the character studies of some of the people God called and used. And my first principle and my first point I want to bring to us this morning is that all human beings are created with the overall purpose of glorifying, worshiping, and serving God. Period. Let me tell you, I was reading about this man whom the disciples found, and they asked Jesus, who sinned? The world view of the disciples was, you can only be like this if you sin and God is punishing you. Now, some of you are here and you're struggling with certain things in your life. And you're beginning to analyze, where did I fail, Lord? I must have made a mistake to marry this man. I must have made a mistake to take this job. I must have made a mistake to study this course. I must have made a mistake to be born the way I was born. And Jesus says, he was like that. So that's the glory of God will be made manifest. I don't know whether Jesus was saying so that the glory may be made manifest when the man gets healed. No, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. Maybe even before. There are conditions you may be going through and you don't like them, but they bring God glory. And he will be saying, Lord, why me? Everything that happens in the world is only me. And you're going to look at this other brother, and for him, his world just seems to be flowing, you know. He doesn't seem to have any trouble. And wait a moment, some of them are not even believers. Right. And you say, something's wrong. The Lord says, I created you to worship me, to serve me, and to bring me glory. Brethren, even if I stopped speaking here today and we went home, that's it. That's it. If my condition can bring God glory, amen, so be it. I shared with you last, you know, about how my sister went to be with the Lord, and I loved Olive. Olive, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And she was sick, and she had cancer. And she cried day and night. And she was in pain. And towards her end, her body got deformed. And I called her on the day she died. I was here, and I called, and these were her words. Moses, I have now become a new creation of God. 1 hour later, she was going to be with the Lord. Do you glorify God? Amen. Yes. That's my situation. Give God the glory. Amen. God doesn't want me to be stinking rich to give him glory. God doesn't want me to become you to give him glory. God wants me to be me to give him glory. And let me tell you that each one of us, God has planned a specific path for you. And if you don't believe that, you'll turn to Psalms 25 and you can read it at your own pace. He says, those who fear the Lord, he causes them to walk in the specific path he has planned for them. And sometimes when we hit ourselves, it only means we are going across. But you know the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? And what are the principles of light when they were teaching you physics? What is one of the principles? Light travels in straight lines. Light doesn't travel like sound. Sound can go around the building and come to your house through the window. Light will not. So, Jesus is a straight line. But guess what we do? Sometimes, Lord, I'm down. So I'm on the left, then sometimes I'm zigzagging and I'm on the right. And sometimes, so we keep crossing. But in the end, if you're following Jesus, life travels in, you'll get there. You'll get there. Let's move on, brother. Let's move forward, brother. So, each one of us as human beings has been created, and have scriptures there for you. Technology has these challenges. That's why many times. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I'm sure you all know that. Pastor Matt, can you take a microphone? Can you take a microphone and read for me? Thank you very much. I love when somebody reads the scriptures so that we are all walking in them together. Amen? Who better than Pastor Pat to be reading that for us? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. We can all recite that, can't we? The conclusion of the matter. Go ahead.
And further, my son, be admonished by these of making many books, there is no end. And much study is the wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
The whole duty. Your job description is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. If what I'm doing is in fear of the Lord, and if what I'm doing is keeping his commandments, that's my job description. Psalms 139, verse 13, 14. We know that very well. We may not even read. He says, I am uniquely made.
That's right.
My brother, my sister, you are uniquely made for the glory of God. But I'm too short. Amen. But I'm too tall. Hallelujah. But I'm black. Praise the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm white. Glory be to the Father.
Amen. Amen.
But you know me, I'm not as beautiful. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the living God. You are uniquely made.
That's right.
There are no two Moseses. There are not.
That's right.
No. There are no two Moseses. There are no two parts. They are not there. It's you and you and you. And if you are not doing your duty, then your role of worshiping and giving God the glory through you is being undermined. Principle number two. All human beings are created with God's power, authority, and abilities locked up inside of us. When we are all born, when we are all created, we are created with this potential, with these abilities. Why? Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 says, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7 tells us that you have the breath of God. Brother, read it if you find it.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Now, if you have the breath of God, what more don't you have? The breath, the very breath of God is in me.
That's right.
And in Genesis 1, 26, 29, he says, he made you in his image. So you are in his image with his breath. And then we go to the Garden of Eden. There in the Garden of Eden is where the challenge came. We shall get back to that. Principle number three. Everybody that was called and used, that was used of God, was called. And called to do specific things. Read about each of the people that God called. He didn't just call them and say, Abraham, and stop there. To Abraham, the instructions were very clear. Abraham, leave your country, number one.
Right.
Leave. Okay, Lord, I'll leave. And then go where I'll show you. Peter, come and follow me. Not just come,
right,
but come and follow. And as you follow, number two, I will make you a fisher of men. Paul, come. I want to send you to the Gentiles.
Right.
The Lord has called you. What did he tell you? Even to Nathanael, he said, come and you will see. Some people were called just to come and see.
Right.
That's why Nathanael didn't write for us the gospel. He came to see. Jesus said, come and you will see more.
That's right.
And there are some people who are just there seeing. What did the Lord call you to do? Because each one of us has been called.
That's right.
What did the Lord call you to do? Maybe the Lord called you to sing, and you're sitting there, and you're not taking up this microphone to sing. I don't know. Maybe the Lord called you to come and pray. And you're not coming to pray. I don't know. Maybe the Lord called you to give. There are some people the Lord just called you to give.
That's right.
And you're not giving. I don't know. Each one of us was called. That's what 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 10.
Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Two things in there. Call and election. Not the Nevada election. Not the primaries of Florida. No.
Oh, no.
You are called elsewhere in Matthew. And it's down there, Matthew chapter 22. We shall not read verse 14. He says, many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
Friends, everybody out there, God is calling them. Some have just ignored him. Some don't care. They just have no time for him. They have time for the Super Bowl. But they don't have time for him. Some have time for more money. They don't have time for the author of the money. Even though the money they are carrying says in God we trust. Some don't even trust in him. He just trusts in the money. But when he chooses you, then he elects you. And he gives you a specific assignment.
Yes.
Many of us, we are praying, Lord, bless me. When actually we should be praying, Lord, what is my assignment? Lord, clarify. And the time of prayer and fast to which the pastor calls for is for us to go to God and say, Lord, what is my assignment? Take time.
Yes.
Take time and go and ask the Lord, Father, what is my assignment? Did you call me just to come and sit? Or do I have a specific assignment? And your assignment may just be being there. There are some people, they just walk in, sit there, say nothing. And you feel the presence of God. You just sit with them.
Yeah.
And then they don't come. Something is missing. They may not even say a word.
Right.
There are people who are never noticed. But silently at home, their assignment is on their knees. A story is told of a pastor. He had a huge church. And he preached. And he preached. And the church grew bigger. One day he saw a vision. And the Lord had taken him to heaven. And while in heaven, he was expecting a huge mansion. And he got it. And the Lord said, walk in, son. Come and enjoy that which was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. And he was like, hallelujah, Lord, yes, I really served you. But then he looked across and he saw even a bigger one. And he said, so Lord, who, I thought I had the biggest church. Somebody else who had a bigger church. From Korea, from where? Is he from Africa? And the Lord said, oh no, actually this one belongs to one of the members of your church. He said, members of my church? He said, Lord, who? God showed him an old woman whom he even hardly recognized. But he could remember the old woman has always come and she sits in that place in the church. And the Lord said, if that woman wasn't praying for you, your work would have come to naught. But on her knees, she labored and she upheld you. and my work grew through you. Let's move on to the next principle. Jesus was not an afterthought. Some people think God created a perfect thing, and when things began to go wrong, then he looked for plan B, and plan B was Jesus. Now, I noticed that they are not as clear as I thought they would be, Pastor. Are they?
We'll
need to do something about it. Listen to what I say. Don't worry about that. I'll tell you whatever is happening. Jesus was not an afterthought. I like the scriptures. If you can read for us, Pastor Pa, let's look at these ones. I love these scriptures. John chapter 17, verse 4 to 5.
I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
You can be opening the next scripture since it's up there, and as I speak to this one. You know, Jesus is giving an account of himself. He's reporting back. And he's saying to the Father, I have glorified you. I like the part where he says, I have finished the work that you appointed for me.
Sure.
Even Jesus had a specific job. When he finished it, he could confidently go to the Father and say, I have finished the work. And says, now glorify me. Put me back where I was. When? Before the world was created. Which means Jesus was not an afterthought. He was there before the world was created. Maybe let's go to the one in Revelation. Because I'm sure time is beginning to run away from me. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. But let's go, just go straight and read from 8.
7 and 8.
Just read 8.
8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
The book of the Lamb. When was the Lamb slain?
Before the foundation.
Jesus didn't die, did he? Jesus didn't die, you know, in 2,000 years ago here. No. Jesus died before the foundation of the world was ever laid.
Mm-hmm.
The very world on which we move and walk was laid in his blood.
Yes.
He was slain before the foundation of the world. Not after. He was not an afterthought. It was not like, oh my goodness, man has sinned. I didn't expect that. God, didn't I expect that? He already had it all worked out.
Yes, he did.
So, in the Garden of Eden, the real thing that the devil did, he stole from mankind two things. But he really stole one. And the second went with it. The devil stole man's trust in God. And trust is equal to faith. The devil stole faith. And when the devil stole the faith from the man, what God had given man was authority. God had given man authority. He said he created them to do what? To rule. He created them, gave them authority to rule. The devil came and took away the authority. And that's why, if man was ever going to be redeemed and reconciled to God, it had to begin in the garden again. Because the fall was right there in the garden. That's where it all started. He knew exactly. And so, it had to begin in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus took back that authority for us. And what does the Bible say? 1 John 3:8.
He who sins is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
And go to Colossians as I speak to this one. For this reason was Jesus made manifest, that he could do what?
Destroy
the works of the devil. If Jesus had heeded when the devil said, do you have to? The works of the devil would not have been destroyed.
Right.
But the moment Jesus said, let your will be done. Oh, your victory and my victory began right there. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Colossians, chapter 2, verse 15. This is what happened. From the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary, this is what happened.
Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it.
He made a public spectacle of them. He disarmed the powers and the principalities. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 28:18, we can all say that, can't we? All authority has been given unto me. All authority, not just on earth, but in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And then he says, therefore, hallelujah, therefore, go. Friends, we have all been called to go. If you are not going, if you haven't started going, you need to start going. Now, Brother Moses, going where? Go to your household. Go to your friends. Go to your neighbors. Go to your colleagues, workmates. Go to those people who bring you, you know, those who give you service. Go. Go. We have all been called to go. Because all authority, that which Lucifer had stolen, has been given unto Jesus. In heaven,
and on us. Therefore, go.
We've been called to go. Not to sit and feel comfortable. Not to complain and whine. Not to judge. Yeah, but the pastor also, today I didn't really enjoy worship. Yes, because you're supposed to go. Have you gone? Hallelujah. Are you still there?
Amen.
Amen. Are we still together?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all.
I surrender
all to be my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Hallelujah.
Let's be seated.
Now Jesus has won the victory for us. And he has given that authority back to us. And now that we have that authority, one of the most important things that Jesus came to do was to recreate that relationship between man and God. And so as we look at the characters in the Bible, we are going to be looking at the relationship they had with God. What kind of relationship did each one of them have with God? The important thing, and because of time we will not read some of the scriptures, but let me just talk about them here. The Bible says when Jesus came, he made God known to us. And I want to encourage you, friends, I don't know how many of you have studied the book of John, the Gospel of John. Just get that Gospel and read it. It's not like all the other Gospels. It's different. Mark, like all young men, he enjoyed the miracles. He just, I mean, when you read Mark, if you're excited by miracles, read the book of Mark. If you are an orderly person, very intellectual, and you want to really argue out things and follow the way things really were said, did they happen the way they say they would happen? Read the Gospel of Luke. He was a medical doctor. He was very intelligent. And he gave an orderly account. If you are excited by history and you just like events and big things, news, you know, you are the CNN type of person, read the Gospel of Matthew. Big events, the big picture, the big things that were happening, read the book of Matthew. If you want to understand the place of Jesus and your place with God, the relationship, John gives us the Father. He reveals to us a Father. Jesus was the Father. That's the most important relationship. And sometimes, circumstances around us and conditions cause us to forget that actually God is our Father. Let's go back to the prayer that Pastor Pat has just walked us through. It all begins with our Father. Father. And sometimes when things are not going very well and I'm beginning to have my own share of whining and complaining and whatever, the Lord reminds me of my own relationship with my children as a father. Would I do that as a father? So why do I think God the Father can do it?
Right.
He's a more loving Father. And our relationship to God is one of a Father. and to become a child of God. What does the Bible tell us? To those who believe, he gave them what?
Authority. Yeah.
To become children of God. That's what the devil had taken away.
Right.
Jesus gets it back. Mm-hmm. You believe in him, he gives you that authority. Now you can say, I am a child of the Father.
Amen. Amen.
He gave them authority to become children of God. But God, Jesus brings us another dimension. In John 15:15, he says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants,
right,
but friends. I am a friend of God.
That's right.
I am a friend of God.
Yes.
Friends, friendship with the Father is what we should be desiring. Lord, if only I can be your friend. You know, if only I can be your friend. You know, when your friend offends you, what do? You go blow them up? No. Your friend offends you, oh, you know, it's a friend. I'm sure he didn't intend it. So, things go well. For Jesus brought us a new dimension of friendship with the Father. Now, as I conclude this particular introduction of the foundation, I want to dwell there a little bit on this person called Jesus. You know, if we can only understand who this person called Jesus is. And I'm not saying you don't understand, no. But I know that every day I'm discovering something new about this person called Jesus. Every day I'm learning. And today, let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 20. No person gives us this person called Jesus better than Paul. Pastor, read for us. And Paul gives us 12 things, and I'm going to mention 12 things in a little bit of a hurry here. 12 things. I'll not explain each one of them because we know most of them, but 12 things that Paul gives us, which is why the only person we can put our faith in is Jesus. Number one,
he has delivered us from the power of darkness.
He has delivered us.
And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
Let's begin there. He delivered us. But you know, he didn't stop at delivering us. I like the conveying. Put us on an elevator and conveyed us into the kingdom.
Amen.
Christianity is not another religion.
No.
No. We are not here to hide for another religion. We are not here to hide a movement. It's not a political party. Friends, this is a life and death thing. We have been delivered. You know, if you saw those people during the time of Katrina or during the floods, I was seeing this morning there are floods in one of the European countries. People that are hanging on trees and are stuck, and they come and deliver you. At that stage, you don't remember whether you're leaving a bed or a television in the house. All your praying for and hoping for is that you will be delivered. You. And that is what counts. That you may be delivered. He delivered us.
In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Carry on. That is all part of the deliverance.
Amen.
That is part of all the deliverance. The redemption.
The forgiveness of sins.
All that is part of the deliverance and the redemption.
He is the image.
He is the image
of the invisible God.
Of the invisible God. How many of us have seen God? It doesn't matter whether you like him or you don't. He's the image of the invisible God. Nobody has seen God. I have been to to Japan. I have been to Thailand. I've been to Vietnam. I've been to Cambodia. I've seen the Buddhas. I've seen those, the little gods, you know. None of those. And of course, I've been to Africa. None of those are images of the invisible God. But he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. And Paul says, he's the image of the invisible God. Believe you in him. Let's go to the next one.
The firstborn over all creation.
The firstborn. You know, how many of us are firstborn in here? Oh, only one person understands what it means to be a firstborn. You know, when you are a firstborn in the home, the authority that you carry, as you tell everybody, you know, we call ourselves, my family and I call ourselves the famous nine. Because we are nine, and so we are the famous nine. We used to go around driving around in this van. And we always joked and said, if you see the blue van, you know the famous nine are in that blue van, you know. There'll be nine souls in that van.
Amen.
But then we gave ourselves instructions. You know, when I'm home, I'm the head of the family. Amen?
Amen.
And when I'm not home, mommy is the head of the family.
That's right.
And when mommy and I are not at home, it continues.
Oh, right.
Esther is the head. And of course, you know, even Mary is the head. When Mary and Emmanuel are the two of them at home, Mary is the head, you know. And you know, it really makes a big difference when you are the firstborn. It's a lot of power, a lot of responsibility, a lot of authority. Jesus is our firstborn.
Yes.
If we can only appreciate his position
mm-hmm.
as the firstborn. Move on, Pastor.
For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth.
By him. All things were created. He's the architect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, architects, the people who make the plans of these buildings, and they organize and they design and they decide, you know, they show where this will be. If a builder comes and doesn't build according to the architect's plan, that building will not serve what it was intended to serve, right? By him, all things were
created.
All things were created by him. So if you don't go to the Creator, who are you going to go to? Let's move on.
Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him.
Created through him and for him. I was created for him.
Mm-hmm.
When the time comes, recently in my country, one brother went to be with the Lord. He was a pastor. He was greatly loved and respected by, you know, in the country. He was one of the men of influence. So one brother visited his church. He was building a huge structure. And the brother was preaching, and in the middle of the sermon, he stops. He walks to the pastor and he says, Pastor, the Lord says, in the next few weeks, days actually, you should be ready. He's going to take you to some other place. And everybody rejoices and claps because they think the pastor is going to be promoted into some great position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a few days later, this brother is on the road and he crashes in an accident and he's gone. And everybody says, is that what God was telling us? And they play back the message of the prophet who went and spoke to him. But since you were created for him,
mm-hmm.
when he comes, he takes you where he wants. But Lord, you know, I studied, you created me, you brought me, you made me put me here. This is my path to victory. This is my path to greatness. This is how everybody in America becomes great. He created you for himself. You are a tool in his hand. You are a baseball bat. And whether he chooses to hit flying bats with it, or to hit baseballs, or to hit stubborn children with it. You are a baseball bat. But he uses it the way he wants. Or whether he wants to break it on the stage like those strong brothers, you see them?
Yeah.
Those who break it on their legs in order to preach the gospel. He created you for himself.
Yeah.
Let's move on, brother.
He is before all things, and in him all things consist.
I like that one. In him, the consist word doesn't bring out the message. The word is, in him all things hold together. In him all things hold. If your life is falling apart,
come on now.
Get into him.
Yes, that's right.
Some people make a mistake. When their life begins to fall apart, that's when they jump out of him even more. If your life is falling apart, if things are not going the way you expected, if things are not happening to you the way you wanted, that's the time to enter even closer into him.
Right.
Because in him, all things hold together.
Right.
In him, sickness and health, hunger and lack, abundance and short supply, in him all things hold together.
Right.
You know, you have all seen a motorcycle, right? Or a bicycle. And you know the sprocket. You know, in the middle of the wheel, there's that hub. And then there are all these little wires moving from that needle to the wheel. That hub is holding all things together. If you remove that hub, and you have those wires hanging in this, that bicycle is going to take you nowhere. In him, all things hold together. Let's move on.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
The head of the body. You know, brethren, if you were walking home, and you found a body walking without a head. I promise you, you will not even remember the number 911. No, you will not. I am telling you, he's the head. And you know the interesting thing? Some of you have very strong legs, right? Others have very strong hands. But if the head says no, legs, today I'm not leaving my bed. You are not going to. The legs may want, but if the head says, you will not. You may be hungry, you want to eat, but if the head says, fasting is a decision. When you call for prayer and fasting, it's not because you don't have. You go and look at the fridge and it is full. But the head says, today is prayer and fasting. You look at them and say, Lord, let me go back. And then you go to the quiet place. Say, Father, oh, Lord, I am in your presence again. Because the head tells you where to go. You go where the head tells you to go. And he says, because he has the preeminence. He has the preeminence. He is overall preeminence.
It doesn't matter what is eminent in your life. It doesn't matter how great.
No.
He has. Oh. Paul describes Christ for me, and I'm like, it's only Lord you can help me to understand what I have. If Christians knew what they are carrying, the world would be a much better place. But sometimes Christians have allowed other people to define Christ for us. And so sometimes we find ourselves carrying the Christ like the one that Joseph carried. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. You know the Christ, the Jesus they carried? You remember?
Yeah.
What type of Jesus did they carry? And sometimes we've allowed ourselves to carry that type of Jesus. The one who only deserves to be kept in a cage. You don't even want to talk about him. You can't even tell your friends about him. You can't even mention him in your workplace. You can't even talk about him. You can't even play Christian music in your car. You can't. You just keep him and put a stone. And forget him there. But I hope that after today, as we go on, we'll all remember that he has called us to go. Because all authority has been given to him. Mention him. Throw him. Throw in the word. Instead of saying bless you, say God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's finish.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
It pleased the Father that all the fullness of the Trinity, of the godliness, of the Godhead should dwell. All the fullness of God. No, some people are looking for God. And that's why I say, read the book of John. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus. You want to understand God? Jesus. You want to know what God thinks about you? Jesus. You want an answer to your challenges and problems? Jesus. But Lord, I'm forsaken. Lord, nobody cares. Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Finish that portion, Pastor, for me.
And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross.
If there was only one thing that Jesus had to do, it was to make peace between you and the Father. To reconcile us. You know, if you have ever had a child, or if you have ever been in a relationship that went sour, you know what reconciliation means. Maybe you had a friend, somebody who was your very close friend, and something goes between the two of you. And sometimes you don't even know what it really is. But maybe somebody's been fed on rumors and they have believed them. And so they begin to distance themselves from you. And you long for the reconciliation and it's not coming. You will understand what Jesus did for us. To reconcile us with the Father. Friends, our Super Bowl. Our Super Bowl. And I'm going ahead of myself here a little bit. I'm leaving some slides, Brother Eric. You may be saying, where is this man now at this stage in his notes? Because when I look at the clock, I need to finish and let us go. But these notes are available in case you want to take them and share with them and read them and look through them. They're available. You can get them online. Peter describes for us at the end of all this, the most important thing,
And here I'll jump to my last slide. Our Super Bowl. If you can read for us, Pastor, from 1 Peter chapter 3. For time, read 8 to 9.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another.
Love is that chapter 1? Did I say 2?
He said 3.
Chapter 1, 3 to 9.
3 to 9.
But just read only verse 8 and 9.
8 and 9, okay. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Though you have not seen him, you believe. That in the end, we may receive our last touchdown. Hallelujah! And the last touchdown on our Super Bowl day will be what? Salvation of your soul. Friends, it is not enough to begin. The important thing is to finish well. My prayer always is, Lord, help me to finish well. There are many that have started and will never finish. There are many that started and never finished. But Lord, help me to finish well. Jesus asked that question in Luke chapter 18, verse 7. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Times have come when Christians and non-Christians, the difference is the same. In other words, there is no difference. In many ways, situations arise in life which sometimes may make you say, Lord, you know what? I'm done with this thing. This thing called salvation, I'm done with it. The other day I was talking to some brethren back home in my country. One of them said, you know, there are times when this cross gets very heavy. And I want to put this down a little bit. And I say, you dare not. But yet it is a true feeling that many of us at one stage have gone through it, you've experienced it. At times when you're hanging on or holding on to something and you're like, Lord, am I holding on the truth? I need to keep holding on to this particular one. And Peter is saying, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, we will continue from here next Sunday, God willing, as we look at some of the characters in the Word of God, how they desired this salvation, how they longed for it, how they looked for it. Everything that we will read about, everything in the Bible, let me tell you. Let's read those two scriptures and finish with those. The people, Abraham, Enoch, all the others, they desired. Their desire was for the salvation. In the same part where you were, Pastor Peter, 10 to 12. What does it say?
Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow.
Of this salvation the prophets desired and inquired. Looking to understand what times the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing to. Abraham desired the salvation. Isaac, Jacob, David, Ruth, they all desired is salvation. Aren't we so blessed, friends? Aren't we so privileged?
Right.
Aren't we in the right place at the right time? Not by choice of our own, but by his appointment, because of what was done for us at the cross. Let's sing that song.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I had done?
Verse 2.
He grew upon the tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree.
At the cross,
where I first saw the light, and the brand of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Father, we come to the cross. Oh, we come as we are. Knowing, Lord, that it is that which was done on the cross for us that has given us this opportunity to dwell in your presence. Lord, our prayer is that you will continue to reveal yourself to us. Continue to reveal yourself, Lord, to us. Throughout this week, Lord, we just want to know you more. We just want to get closer to you, Lord. We just want to get closer. We just want to enjoy this fellowship more with you, Father. Father, when things don't go the way we expect, help us to draw even closer. Father, when circumstances around us change, help us to draw even closer. Father, when we can't understand and we can't interpret what is happening, we pray that you'll bring us even closer, that we may appreciate your work on the cross. For Lord, you've created us to serve you, to worship you, and to bring you glory. Help us this week to serve you, Lord. And if you want us to serve you by sharing your love with somebody, Lord, lead us to the right people. And give us the right words. And create the right circumstances. And if you want us to serve you by doing something different, Lord, may you lead us into what you want us to do. But Lord, whatever happens, help us to continually worship you. Help us to continually glorify you.